Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Would you read together with me the title of our sermon this morning, which is, Don't Unplug the Power. Based on our gospel reading these verses, Jesus said, Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself, unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. But apart from me, you can do nothing. I invite you to open up your service folder, find your sermon outline as we consider our theme, Don't Unplug the Power. When I was quite younger, I had one of many life's embarrassing experiences. I was in seminary. I just moved into my apartment. I'd worked hard all day unpacking and arranging things, and I was very hungry. So I rushed off to the closest grocery store and bought a gourmet meal, a frozen pizza. I brought it to the apartment, put it in the oven, turned on the oven, and waited. And the oven didn't work. And I tried this, and I tried that, and I tried the dials, and I couldn't get anything to work. Now, if you're a man like me and your car doesn't work, what do? You go out and kick the tires, right? That always helps. But here, I couldn't get the oven to work. Finally, I swallowed my pride and called a repairman. I was surprised in St. Louis, Missouri. Now, this was in the mid-1970s. The repairman was there within an hour. And in 15.5 seconds, or thereabout, he had the oven working. And I said, how did you do it? It's a miracle. I tried everything. What did you do? And with the kindness of a man who'd been in the repair business for 40 years, he put his arm around my shoulder, took me to the back of the oven and said, don't forget to plug the electric outlet into the wall. Then he looked at me with words that made me just turn beet red with embarrassment. He said, don't unplug the power. From that day on, I promised myself, if anything else didn't work electronically, the first thing I would check was to see if it was plugged into the power source. This is one way to look at today's gospel reading from John chapter 15. Listen to Jesus' words again. He says, abide in me, and I in you. A branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine. I am the vine, says Jesus. You are the branches. But apart from me, you can do nothing. Jesus basically says to each of us, would you say it with me again? He says, don't unplug the power. Jesus says, don't cut yourself off from me. And the image he uses is of the grapevine and grape branches. Cut off from the grapevine, the grapes cannot grow, cannot thrive, cannot live, no matter how hard those grapes try on their own. In the same way, dear friends, our Christian life is not a matter of our own personal willpower. Many people have the mistaken idea. I run into them on a constant basis. They believe that to be a Christian, to be a follower of Jesus, is something we do. A matter of our willpower. Oh, somebody just tell me what to do, and I'll do it. But we know that we fall short. Why do we have the confession of sins every Sunday? We know that we fall short. We aren't the people of God that He wants us to be. Also, we reason, the solution is, I have to try harder. Be a better Christian. Have a deeper faith. Make God happy with me. Right? Wrong. So very wrong. Now, I haven't heard the commercial for a while. But Avis Rent-A-Car used to have a commercial. They used to advertise by saying, we try harder. That was their way of saying, don't rent cars from the number one company, rent from us, because we'll try harder to do the right thing. I sometimes hear people talking about the Christian faith as if it's the Avis of world religions. What does it mean to be a Christian? These folks basically say to be a Christian is a matter of trying harder to be a good person, trying harder to live the good life. To be a Christian is to try harder. Nothing is further from the truth. The basis of the Christian faith is not what we do. Now look here. But what God has done for us in Jesus Christ our Lord. We'll get back to that soon. In the Old Testament book of Proverbs, chapter 14, verse 12, look at what it says. There is a way that seems right unto a man, but the end of that way is death. The way that seems so right to many people today is the way of good deeds, of good lives, of trying harder. But the sad truth is, there's a huge gap between sinful people and a holy and almighty God, and that gap cannot be bridged by our human efforts. Martin Luther said centuries ago, there are really only two religions in the entire world. Works righteousness, try harder, or simple faith in trusting what God has done for us in Christ our Lord. Now you think that church folks, now I'm talking to you and I'm meddling. You think that church folks, you'd think that, and I'm only going to pick on Lutherans here, you'd think that Lutheran church folks would know this very well. Since the basis of our faith handed down to us from Luther the Reformer is summarized in Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, for by grace we have been saved through faith. It's a gift of God, not by works, so no one can boast. You'd think we'd know that. However, some years ago, over 4,000 Lutheran church members were given a questionnaire and a poll. And they were basically asked this question, how do you hope to get right with a holy and almighty God? What is your basis for hope that when you die, you'll live with the Lord forever in heaven? And 40%, that is 4 out of 10, answered, by my good life, by being good, by going to church. That is Avis Christianity. We're trying harder. The truth is we all fall dreadfully short. Our good deeds are not good enough. In the prophet Isaiah, he tells us all our righteous deeds are like filthy, stinking rags in God's nostrils. Paul says it this way in Romans 3:23, we all have sinned and fall short to the glory of God. But here's some good news. And I've said it again, and I'll say it again and again in this message. The Christian faith is not about our trying to be good. The Christian faith is about our perfect Savior, Jesus. Christianity is not about what we do, but what has been done for us. Jesus Christ lived the perfect life without sin. And he went to that cross on Calvary to lay down his life to pay for your sins and thank God to pay for mine. On the cross, he overcame sin and death and the devil. From the cross and from the grave, he rose in victory. By the way, Christ is risen. He rose to give us God's power and God's life. The power of the forgiveness of our sins, the power of His Holy Spirit to dwell in us so we can resist sin and temptation, the gift of life with God right now and forever in heaven. But this power and this life, Jesus says in the gospel reading comes to us today, He says this power and this life comes as we branches are connected to and abide in Jesus the vine. It didn't take Isaiah 10 seconds to answer my question, how come the vacuum cleaner didn't work? It was unplugged. Listen to what Jesus said in John 15. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You are my branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. But apart from me, you can do nothing. When I was a seminary professor in Edmonton, Alberta, I would periodically travel to our sister seminary in St. Catharines, Ontario, to be a guest professor. And when I wasn't teaching, you can imagine what I was doing. I went on my daily runs all over the Niagara area. I particularly enjoyed the acres and acres of grapevines and the aromatic smell of the grapes. And one day when I was on quite a kilometer or two run, I passed by a guy tending the grapevines. And he gave me a handful to eat. And when I asked him the secret of growing good grapes, here's what he told me. I want to quote his words. The branches need to constantly be checked to make sure they are lifted up and firmly connected to the main vine. If they get separated from that vine and just lay in the dirt, they'll soon shrivel up and die and won't be able to bear fruit. Truer words could not be spoken about our relationship with Jesus, our Savior. He is the vine. And the good news is this. Jesus himself provides the means by which we can stay connected to him. It doesn't depend on our efforts. Jesus comes to us. Do you see your sermon outline? Jesus comes to us in his threefold word. His written word. His spoken word. His visible word. When we spend time personally reading, studying, and meditating upon God's Word, the written Word, the Bible, or when we attend any of the many Bible classes that are offered in this congregation, Jesus comes to us. He speaks to our hearts. He takes that written Word of God and plants it in our soul like a seed so that we are lifted up and reconnected to Him, the true vine. And when we really listen to his spoken word from this pulpit and the Holy Spirit applies it to our lives, Jesus comes to us again and again. You've experienced this and so have I. The preacher, and I've listened to preachers myself, the preacher has spoken a word, spoken a phrase, spoken a sentence, or maybe the entire sermon, and you just know that God is speaking to your heart that day. And you wonder, and maybe even say to the preacher afterward, God was speaking just to me. How did you know what I needed to hear today? Well, the preacher didn't know. But God knows. And in that spoken word, Jesus Christ comes to you, looks at you in the eye and in the heart, and he lifts you up and once again connects you to himself as the true vine and his precious branches. And when we see, and right now the baptismal font is here because of the mess, but when we see at this baptismal font water applied in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Jesus comes to us. In the visible word of the sacrament, he is present, welcoming that person into his precious kingdom, reminding each of us here of our baptisms and his lifelong faithfulness to us from cradle to grave. In this visible word of holy baptism, as the water is poured, again, Jesus, the true vine, lifts us up and reconnects us to himself. And each and every time we kneel here at this altar, every time we kneel at this altar to receive the bread and wine, which is also the true body and blood of Christ, Jesus comes to us to give us the gift of himself. And one of the names for Holy Communion upon the altar is a Greek word, and that word is Eucharist. Have you ever heard the word before? Eucharist? Eucharist in Greek simply means a good gift. The gift is the real presence of Jesus in with and under that bread and wine. The gift is the forgiveness of our sins given to us once again that was earned for us at the cross. The gift is the strengthening of our faith and our service to God every day of our life. This Eucharist, God's good gift, is the visible word that we feel, we taste, we touch. And Jesus, who is the visible word, comes to us again. And what does he do? Like the vine and the branches, he lifts us up and reconnects us to himself. Such reading, hearing, applying, experiencing, tasting, and seeing God's word are what we call the means of grace, the means God uses that we might be and remain connected to Jesus. My friends, there is no room in our lives for Avis Christianity. Trying harder is not the answer to how to keep and get close to God. Christianity is not about what we do. It's about what God has done and is doing for us in Jesus Christ our Lord. He supplies everything we need that we can stay connected to and abide in him. Now, do you recall the opening story I told you about the repairman who came to me in my St. Louis apartment, who said, "Don't unplug the power"? Do you recall my vow that if anything like that happened again, the first thing I would do is check and see if the cord was plucked into the power wall? Well, not long ago, I goofed again. And this time, a repairman didn't save me. Guess who saved me? Our own Stephen Gettle. It's on your sermon outline. See, I just bought a new DVD player to hook up to our television, and try as I might to get the thing connected and work and to interface with the TV, it just wouldn't work. You can ask Beverly, I was getting more steamed and more steamed. I just bought this new device at London Drug, for goodness sakes. I was about to box it up and tell them my opinion of their defective equipment. And then I called Stephen Gettle. With a calmness and a kindness that reminded me of repairman some 40 years ago, Stephen said these words, "Pastor, is the electric cord plugged into the outlet?" Whoops. My dear friends, our Lord Jesus says to you today, and please hear Jesus speaking to your hearts. He says, "My dear ones, don't unplug the power. I have provided for you the very power source you need. Stay connected to my written word, my spoken word, my visible word. These are my gifts to you. These are the means I have to deliver to you my power, my love, my forgiveness, everything you need." For the last time, we hear Jesus' words in John 15, the verse at my ordination service. Jesus says, "Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You are my branches. Whoever abides in me bears much fruit. But apart from me, you can do nothing." Thank God our precious Savior comes to us every way he can to reconnect us to him. He loves you. He is the true vine. It is our privilege to be his dear branches. In the name of Jesus, don't